Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Your official station to talk Giants. The Fan, 101.9 FM and always live on the free Odyssey app.
For Jet fans, not sure for anybody else. Hey, good morning, everyone. How we doing at 4 o'clock? It's your boy, Pin. I'm getting there. I'm gonna try and start to sing. Hopefully, I just need the weekend. Give me the weekend. Get away from things for a while. It's not like I do anything on the weekend anyway. I'm gonna the big soccer tournament this week. He's gonna have to play 3 soccer games. But I need to get away a little bit. But, hey, listen, a little bit of Jets football brought a smile to my face after the Yankee debacle. Last night, the New York Jets, who I've been trying to tell myself, maybe, you know, that you're not so stupid. Maybe this team does have something. Because I believed in them. And I still think they have a very good roster. I don't think that's really even open for debate. I mean, they have a good roster. They have talented players. But it's just been such a disaster. And after last week, which was... I mean, the low of lows. I mean, to lose to that team, to watch Jacoby Brissett go down the field and beat you, to lose to the Patriots in a game that you absolutely needed, is to have it be that team in that manner, it was a low point for a franchise that specializes in low points. So I don't know what I was expecting last night from the New York Jets. But I was getting what I kind of expected in the first half. We saw the start of this game. Aaron Rodgers is awful at the start of this game. The first throw, he's got Devontae Adams down the sideline. He puts it out of bounds. He doesn't even give it. Like, that was a throw I didn't see coming from Aaron Rodgers. It was terrible. The next play is a drop from Breece Hall, and away we go. The offense looks terrible in the entire first half. I mean, just awful. They're dropping touchdown runs. They're dropping the ball before they get into the end zone. It was just a debacle, disgusting first half. They're down 7-0, and then something changed in the second half of that game. Aaron Rodgers got a little pep in his step. The offense actually started to work together, and really that's, you know, the main takeaway, despite the fact they get a win against a solid team, dealing with some injuries at the wide receiver position, and they find a way to get a victory. They're 3-6. Season not officially dead just yet, I suppose. You'd have to probably go 7-1 down the stretch if you want to consider making the playoffs, but I suppose that's still alive. But for me, moving forward, we're now really starting to see the emergence of Garrett Wilson inside this offense and the connection of Wilson and Rodgers, which I took for granted. I have to admit, I just assumed that was not going to be an issue. I thought that was going to be a strength of this team. We also saw how he performed, you know, with Zach Wilson. We just assumed he was going to take off. And, you know, not having played together, all you heard about was Rodgers talking about how he's going to be the next 17. He's going to be great. Like, he's so super talented. They're working on this relationship. Yeah, maybe they're even arguing on the sidelines during practice at camp. But that was something we just expected to see Wilson take this next step. And it hasn't been there for so much of the season, so much of this year. Rodgers with all his wide receivers, really, but with Garrett Wilson has just been off and not on the same page over and over again. And in this second half, and really over the last few weeks, you're really starting to see the two of them come together. He has another big game. He gets 2 touchdowns in this game, including making one of the greatest catches you will ever see. If you haven't seen it yet, go check it out. You know, he just makes an incredible catch at the back in the back of the end zone on a play, really, on a long third down that I didn't even want him going to the end zone. I thought it was a mistake. I'm like, just get the 10 yards they're going to give you and set up a better field goal. Instead, he gives they go one-on-one, and he gives Wilson an opportunity to make a catch in the back of the end zone, and he leaps in the air and makes an unbelievable, his legs go wide like Air Jordan, and he makes an incredible one-handed grab and then comes down and finds a way to have a foot come down and then a shin come down. And I was listening to the Jets postgame on the radio a little bit as I was driving in, and they called it the holy shin play. I guess that's not bad. Holy shin. But somehow he managed to get a foot down and a shin down before, and I'll still never understand it. Because I have a leg, I have a shin, and I have a knee. And I don't know if I could get one on the ground without the other. I'm not sure I could. And yet there he is, making an incredible play, incredible catch, getting a foot down, getting a shin down before the knee hits out of bounds, and giving this Jet team their second touchdown of the game. And then just the way they played the rest of the way, they get the benefit of a disastrous penalty. That's when you know the Jets are living a charmed life, even for a night. On a field goal that would have brought it to a one-point game with 6 minutes left, the Jets are called for roughing the, or you know, a personal foul as they dig their knee into the center's head on a field goal. They get a 15-yard penalty and set up the Texans at the 12-yard line for a chance to stick it in and take the lead. Instead, the defense stands up, and they end up missing the kick. That's how you know it's going great for the Jets, when personal penalties of the highest order of stupidity actually end up helping them. They go down the field, they put in the end zone late, Devontae Adams, and you know, we could see how much he helps this team. Oh, he doesn't block. Oh, he doesn't get after the quarterback. No, what he does is help what your strength needs to be, this offense and Aaron Rodgers. And for one night, they showed up, and for one half, he looked much better. He actually ran for a long third. It was like third and 10, and he got 12 or 13 yards on a scramble. It was unfortunately called back by penalties, which still hamper this team. The penalties, the miscues, like that is still something they're dealing with. And in the first half, they were not good in this game. But the Jets get a win they desperately need. They figure out a way to seal the game late. Aaron Rodgers goes down the field and doesn't just milk the clock out, puts the ball in the end zone. The offensive game plan I thought was great. The play calling at the end of this game, instead of the traditional just run the football and run the clock out, they're running, you know, play action waggles and get him rolling out and hitting the tight end for a first down. They're going down the field. They see an advantage with Devontae Adams, and they take it to put it in the end zone. Just a overall good offensive performance, a solid defensive performance. An injury-plagued Texans team, but still a solid defensive performance to hold them to 13. The offense gets 3 touchdowns, 2 to Wilson, 1 to Devontae Adams. Aaron Rodgers looked a little bit more like himself in the second half. An incredible catch, a penalty that worked for them. Like, just a couple of good signs from this team, who now will go on the road in Arizona in 10 days with another winnable game. And they'll follow that up with the Colts in another winnable game. And if they can just keep plugging along and go out with a 10-day layoff, put up a good game plan to try and stop Murray and the Arizona Cardinals, who are one of the more up-and-down teams in the NFL. 1 week they look like a juggernaut offensively. The next week they can't do anything. They'll come from behind and beat the 49ers and then crap the bed the next. Like, they are an up-and-down Arizona Cardinal team, and they have 10 days to get ready for them. But every journey starts now, but more importantly than anything else, Aaron Rodgers looked a little bit like Aaron Rodgers, and him and his wide receivers are starting to get it together. And there is enough talent on this team, both offensively and defensively, where if they ever just get it together, they have a chance to go on a run. They have a chance. 888-808-1019. So that's what happened last night at MetLife Stadium. Jets get a big win, a win they were desperate for, and we're still recovering from the hideousness that was the fifth inning of the New York Yankees. That's where we spend most of our morning. Let's go to Stuart in Brooklyn. What's up, Stu? Stu! All right, I'm going to put you on hold, Stu. That's unlike you, Stu. I'm going to try again. Let's go to Phil in Manhattan. What's up, Phil?
Hey, good morning. After the Yankees demolished the Dodgers 11-4, and then took that 5-0 lead.
Yep.
Yesterday, I really thought the Dodgers were the ones who were totally, melting down.
It would have been nice to continue that, to see if that would have happened in L.A., Phil. That would have been nice. That's what's so frustrating about it. That's why I still have a feeling in the pit of my stomach, because you're right. They in a bullpen game, to be fair, but they busted open for 11 runs, Volpe with the grand slam. They won a nice, easy, comfortable, ho-hum blowout game after scoring a ton of runs, and then they opened that next game, game number 5. Judge hits the 2-run home run, and away they went. They added more. Verdugo gets a base hit. Obviously, Chisholm follows up the Judge home run with a home run of his own. Stanton hits a home run. It's 5-0. Gerrit Cole is throwing a no-hitter, and if that game goes the way it's supposed to go, or the way it was going, and Gerrit Cole throws 7 one-hit innings, they add a couple more runs, and they win that game 7-0, 8-1. And the Dodgers' offense now hasn't done anything in 2 games. The Yankees have completely exploded. Judge looks like a hitter again. There would have been a lot of doubt and a lot of fear and a lot of momentum from the New York Yankees showing up in L.A. later tonight. Instead, we're sitting here wondering how the hell the worst inning in the history of the freaking sport happened to them.
Yeah, do you think the start of the meltdown was when Judge, muffed that routine fly ball?
Yeah, no question. I think you could argue that's the most important element of it, because it's the easiest. I understand covering first is pretty damn easy, but that play might not have been easy. And everyone seems to be on Rizzo, and I get it. I don't think, that play was a bit of a squibber. And I do agree that he has to make sure he fields it. You would love for him to be more aggressive and run up and get it and take it to the bag himself. The ball was moving on him. I understand on some level. I still think he could have been slightly more aggressive and had a chance to make an out at first base himself. But Cole's got to be there. And even if Cole isn't there because he took an angle to try and field the ball at first, there's no guarantee that play is made, but you have to be there to try and find out. With Mookie's speed, there's a chance that play isn't made. The one play that's a no-brainer, guaranteed, there is a runner at first base and one out if Judge makes that catch. The next ground ball could possibly be a double play, and the Yankees are moving on to the sixth. It's hard to deal with. And I know when things are hard to deal with, we look for the easy answer to explain it. When things are hard to explain, we look for the easy answer. And while I don't disagree that Aaron Boone and this Yankee team have had immense amount of issues with playing clean baseball, I would be a fool to argue. I hope everyone understands that I'm aware of it. And it's clear as day. All I'm saying is that fifth inning has nothing to do with it. And it's too freaking important, and it's too gut-wrenching, and it's too much of a disaster to just sweep it under the rug and give players off and excuse them from blame by saying, well, this has been the problem all year and it's Aaron Boone's fault. There is no amount of coaching. There is no amount of accountability. There is no amount of yelling at them in the postgame show. There is no amount of taking it to the, to the reporters and calling a player out. There is nothing any manager could have done to change Aaron Judge from dropping that pop-up or that fly ball. Nothing. That is not on the manager. That's on him. There is nothing. Volpe didn't approach the ball wrong. Volpe didn't field it incorrectly. Volpe didn't throw to the wrong base. Volpe didn't even have indecision on what base to throw to. Volpe made the exact right play, did it in the exact right manner, went to throw to the exact right base, and then threw it in the ground. There is no amount of coaching or of accountability that could change that. And Anthony Rizzo, a Platinum Glove Award winner, right? A Platinum Glove Award winner who's only been here for a couple years at the end of his career and has been on several other teams under several other coaches, who learned how to play defense not here with the New York Yankees, who had enough mental aptitude to break a 100-year curse with the Cubs, didn't address a ground ball with enough intensity. And Gerrit Cole, the $324 million dollar man, didn't cover first base. Those are epic disasters by players. That's all I'm saying. And we can write all the articles we want about how the Dodgers felt about the Yankees. Fair. You want to blame Game 1 and Gleyber Torres on lack of, you know, focus from Gleyber, and that's a problem because Boone didn't make that more of an issue. Fine. All I'm saying is I will not sweep up that rug. I will not take that inning and hide it and put it in a nice little comfy box that everybody's cool with because it's so comfortable to blame Boone, and we'll just say, oh, yeah, no, that's clear. Look, it fits right in there, rectangle right in there. Putting a square peg right into the square hole. There it is. Boone sucks. No focus. Boom. That inning falls right into that. We'll put it away. Boone's the reason they lost. It's just not true, man. That inning is so much more than just bad fundamentals. That's blowing the game. That's not meeting the moment. That's allowing the moment to meet you. And it's Judge, and that drop fly ball will forever taint him. There's no way around it. Now, if they get the next three outs, it doesn't. But it led to a historic inning of monumental proportions. That's an epic meltdown. And it has nothing to do with how often they practice. Richard in Manhattan. What's up, Richard?
Hi, Chris. Chris, if I was Boone, I would have went with Cole and then went straight to Weaver. He rode Cole as long as he could. I wouldn't. Right. You go with your two best at that point. Throw it all out on the table.
Yeah, I had no... Well, he had to get one out in the seventh, and I had no problem going to Holmes there. I would not have brought out Holmes for the next inning because, if you watched, he did not have any faith in his sinker. His sinker was all over the place. He couldn't get it, and he was throwing slider after slider to Muncy. He ended up throwing a pretty good one and catching the outside corner. If he would have been brought back out, he would have hung a slider to somebody, I have no doubt. So I definitely wouldn't have went to him. Canely is their guy. The only reason they did it, and I do believe I would have done the same thing as you, Richard. I would have. I would have went to Weaver right away in the eighth inning. I would have brought in Clay to get in the final out of the seventh, and then I would have went to Weaver in the eighth. The only reason they did it is because they saw how exhausted Weaver was. And if you watch the game, right, by the time he's, you know, 20 pitches in, you could see he's exhausted. Like, he just loses it. So they felt like, especially because if the top of the order was in the eighth, I think he would have done it. But it's the bottom of the order in the eighth, and he's thinking to himself, all right, so say he gets the eighth, he's going to be exhausted for the ninth, and I can't go anywhere else at that point. If I can get just Canely to get these three out to the bottom of the order, I have a better chance of getting through the top of the order with Weaver not having already pitched an inning. And it didn't work.
Now, Rizzo charging the guy at the – I think that killed Canely. I think Canely was so distracted – the guy at bat never bunted in his life. Yeah. Why didn't somebody tell Rizzo, get back? I think that destroyed Canely. Never seen that. When do you ever see a guy? I haven't seen that since Pete Rose did to Mickey Rivers in the 76 World Series.
We've all seen it, Richard. Rizzo's done it six times this postseason. I can't tell you that Canely was on the mound for any of those. I don't remember off the top of my head. But Rizzo, I mean, Bob Costas was talking about it. Bob Costas was just, you know, couldn't believe how far Rizzo would get. I mean, he's been doing that the entire postseason. So it's not like they haven't seen it. And I do think they think it might even mess up Smith a little bit. But yeah, no, Rizzo's a madman. Rizzo has no regard for himself.
Didn't people say Keith Hernandez used to do that?
Yes, Keith Hernandez used to do it too. Keith Hernandez would attack that way and look for the out at third, no doubt. But, Rizzo's a madman. And I don't think anybody thought that Smith was bunting in that spot. I was shocked that he was that aggressive with it, but if it was a left-handed pitcher, maybe I'd have more in that he would be watching him as he's getting, like, he's a right-handed pitcher. It's not like he's right there in front of him. There's no excuses, man. Throw strikes. Plain and simple. Paul in Buffalo. What's up, Paul?
Chris, let's take a moment to understand why the last manager, who I lovingly refer to as Binder Joe, was fired. He was fired because he has what we call a military bearing. He had an abrasive personality, and he held guys, specifically Gary Sanchez, accountable. So they got him out and brought in the Yankee press secretary, Aaron Boone. And over the course of several years, the Yankees have developed what everyone, all of your callers have called for at least 2 years now, a lackadaisical culture that manifested in base running in the Cleveland series, in poor defense in game one, and poor defense again in game five. So while the individual players can't be predicted that Aaron Judge and Gerrit Cole are going to choose these moments to enter into the years-long Yankee culture, it should not be surprising to anyone who has watched the Yankees as closely as you have that this Yankee culture manifested itself in the fifth inning of a World Series game after it had already manifested itself in game one of the World Series and against the Cleveland Indians. So I just, I find it bizarre you're still shilling for
Boone. I'm not shilling for anyone. I'm putting it on the players where it belongs. I'm not shilling for Boone.
The players are part of the culture that Boone has coddled them into.
Boone is coddled
them into. Why did Binder Joe get fired, Chris? Why did Binder Joe get fired?
Because certain players felt like he wasn't the voice, and it certainly wasn't.
Yeah,
and
it exactly. Wasn't, and Gleyber Torres
and it wasn't Gary Sanchez.
Today if Binder Joe were his manager?
I have no idea. He didn't really help with Gary Sanchez.
Really? Because Gary Sanchez had his best years under Binder Joe.
No doubt, but he was ruined by many things. I don't think it was Aaron Boone, but yeah, he had a great year in 18 with Aaron Boone, had a great year in 19 with Aaron Boone. So I understand.
And yet the Yankees got rid of him because he started to fail,
no doubt about it.
Because their culture couldn't develop him.
Listen, they have failed developing players, no doubt about it. But a lot of players.
That kind of points to the manager, doesn't it?
No, to develop a player on some level, sure. Absolutely.
The whole coaching staff that he's instituted. And if you want to tell me that's Brian Cashman, well, then I guess it's Cashman.
Yeah,
Aaron Boone is the front man.
Okay, here we go. Can you like stop talking so I can answer the questions that you keep throwing at me 10 at a time? Like, first, you asked me why Boone fired Girardi, why they fired Girardi. I started to answer, and you just went right into talking over me. So give me a second here. The reason they fired him is not just Gary Sanchez, but some of the biggest players on the team tuned him out. That's why. And they felt like it. And that doesn't mean Boone has done a great job or that I didn't agree with firing Joe Girardi. But it is overplayed how much it was about showing discipline to Gary Sanchez. I know for a fact that important players on that team did not believe in anything Joe Girardi had to say. Now, doesn't make it right, but that's why it was. And now, developing the Baby Bombers is without question the biggest failing of this culture, regime, whatever you want to say. Whatever you want to call it, Gary Sanchez was a great power-hitting catcher who eventually, I think, succumbed to the pressure of a million different things. The fan base, the nature of being in the New York Yankees. Now, again, it's not like they left and went and did anything. Greg Bird left and could only find success in Australia. Gary Sanchez has been bouncing around the league. Gleyber Torres, there's a bunch of them. Frazier has not done. Frazier was on the Cubs for about 10 minutes and then was released. And Duhar is struggling to find a place with the Oakland A's. Like, it's not like these players are all, once they get out of this Yankee culture, suddenly find themselves. They have struggled everywhere they went. But I agree with you, the failing of that Baby Bomber, and Gleyber Torres is another one who hasn't even really become what he should have become, even though he hit great in this postseason, is the biggest reason why they're here, because they made decisions on the idea of they had answers at those positions because Gary Sanchez came up and was an all-star and hit 30 home runs for 2 or 3 years, because Greg Bird showed promise and hit big home runs in the postseason in 2017, because Gleyber Torres was an all-star for 18 and 19 and hit 30 home runs. So they made decisions on passing on other players because they thought they had it, and then those players failed. You want to blame Boone for that? I'm okay with that. I'm okay with the idea that Boone is part of the reason why those players were unsuccessful. That's fair. And again, the defensive culture, sure. But like, we act like no other team makes defensive miscues. The Yankees were benefited by defensive miscues. Rocchio drops a pop-up. The same player, Rocchio, who's a finalist for the Gold Glove at shortstop, doesn't treat second base like first base with a runner bearing down on him and only needing one out in that spot, tries to turn two and just drops the ball and sets up the end. Like, is there a Cleveland Guardian culture, or do you just not give a damn about the Guardian culture? Like, that's the point of it. Now, has there been an issue? Of course. Have they played sloppy baseball? Totally agree. I think they have sloppy baseball players. I think Gleyber Torres is a sloppy baseball player. That's what I think. And I mean, could they have nipped it in the bud? Could they have given him your? Could they have satisfied your bloodlust by, you know, killing him in the post game? Maybe. Do you think they didn't talk to him? Like when he got benched. Like if I remember when he got benched by and pulled out of the game by Boone. You could see when Boone mouthed, and I think John Boy did a thing on it. I don't know if he did a breakdown necessarily or just talked about it over the video. He literally says to Glaber, "I warned you." He kicked him out. Glaber tried to argue his case, and Boone said, "I warned you." Now, he didn't warn him publicly, so when do you think he warned him? Like, the idea that he won't do it publicly. If you want him to do it publicly, I understand, because why not try it? Because privately isn't working. I get that point. But the idea they're not talking to these guys, the idea they're not coaching these guys is preposterous. That this is allowed to fester. They just don't do it publicly. And they benched him. What should Boone do? Play lesser players all the time? He benched Gleyber Torres. I mean, I don't know. And the idea that it meant that it's somehow, it's miraculous to me. The culture of baseball, the culture of this stuff, that it suddenly manifested itself in the Hall of Fame MVP captain of the team, that this bad culture that Boone, like, this is what you just expected me to believe. That the bad culture of the New York Yankees, who had not affected Aaron Judge at all this year, had not had an error at any point this year, not a single one, in Game 5 of the World Series with a 5-run lead in the fifth inning, suddenly the culture of the New York Yankees jumped up and bit Aaron Boone in the ass, Aaron Judge in the ass. That's what we're saying. That all year long, including the third inning when he makes an incredible leaping catch at the wall, he was able to dodge the raindrops of the Yankees. Boone called, oh, he missed it. Oh, he's over there hitting 60 home runs somehow. Oh, there he managed to avoid it all year long. That horrible Yankee culture at any moment. It could have happened at any time, but Aaron Judge managed to just get past it. But unfortunately, there in the fifth inning, it got him. Son of a man, what a terrible time for it. Up until that point, all these years avoiding it. And then suddenly, just right there in the fifth inning with that line drive, with that soft line drive hit out to him, suddenly that's when when Boone's Yankee culture bit him in the ass. It's unbelievable. That's the stuff that keeps you awake at night. That Yankee culture. I'm not saying there isn't any issues. I'm just saying that fifth inning isn't part of it. Don't dismiss the idea that the players folded. I'm getting on Aaron Judge. I'm not getting on Boone. Aaron Judge is supposed to be the leader of this team. He's the MVP. You can't take your eye off the ball. He wasn't coached to do so. He took his eye off the ball. His father, his first little league coach, his high school coach, his college coach, his minor leagues coaches, every one of them told him to not take his eye off the ball. He didn't suddenly get to Aaron Boone and Aaron Boone said, "Hey, your eyes here, your eyes there, whatever." 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you. We'll come back, take a break. Well, we'll take a break, then we'll come back. McMonagle here with you on The Fan.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Need to get out of a meeting? Call the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS Live on Paramount Plus.
All right, real quick on a football Friday. McMonagle here with you. None of my guys are here. No Fliegelman. No Marco. But I'll still give you my picks real quick. And I might be on at some point this weekend. I haven't gotten the weekend schedule. But I might pop up before Sunday. We could do the picks there again. I'll give you maybe Fliegelman's and Marco's. But real quick, week number 9 in the NFL, I believe. 9 already? I mean, unbelievable. Before you know it, we're going to be calling the turkey. Week 9 already. Well, let's get into it real quick. Obviously, the Jets. I picked the Jets. I take the Jets, as I usually do. Big win for the Jets. All right, let's get into it. I'm going to go with a couple of big... I'm going to go with a couple of big dogs here. I like what Denver's been doing. They've been playing inspired football. Knicks is throwing the ball around. And Baltimore, coming off a brutal loss, it does scare me. There's a decent percent chance that this is the game that Baltimore scores 100 points and just demolishes someone. But I gotta be honest. Their cornerbacks, that defensive backfield has not played well, and this Denver defense is ferocious. They get after people, and the Ravens haven't played well in this spot. Whether it's the Raiders, other situations, like they have not been this front-leading team playing these lesser teams to this extent where they're blowing teams out. They just haven't. I know they're due for one, but I don't think it's this one. Denver's played really well. Knicks has played really well. Sean Payton hasn't treated this kid like a rookie at all. He's throwing all the stuff at him, throwing all the playbook at him, and it took some time. It's starting to come along. The defense is better than everybody expected. He's already got 5 wins there. They're a half a point. They're one more win away from hitting their over already on the year. I think they're playing inspired football. I think they're going to keep this game close. Give me Denver at Baltimore plus 8.5. The other 8.5 one I'm going to take is Kansas City. I'm going to take Tampa Bay at Kansas City. I don't care who's playing. It's Monday night. 8.5. Typically, this is just a play by the numbers. Kansas City never covers these spreads at home. Never. If you can get him as an underdog, you bet it. If you can get him for a favorite less than 3, you bet it. Anything over that, Patrick Mahomes has trouble covering these games. And he still has more interceptions than touchdown passes. They are typical like last year. Now, they're undefeated, and I still expect them to win the damn Super Bowl. But I know they're dealing with injuries out in Tampa Bay. I still think they can sling it. I still think that offense can put up some points, and I just don't know if Kansas City right now is putting up big-time points. 8.5 seems like a lot against anybody, and traditionally, like I said, Kansas City has a real problem covering these points. So give me Tampa Bay at Kansas City plus 8.5. And then this one, I'm just going to bet on a team that I believe is really ready to put their foot on the throat of the rest of the NFC. I think the Lions are really ready to make a statement. Not that they haven't already, but I think they're looking forward to this game in Green Bay as an opportunity to really make a statement against another team, top of the NFC, and go into their building and kick the crap out of them. We know how much pleasure they took out of it last game of the season against Rodgers, his last game in Green Bay. That's kind of where this beginning of this good run of Detroit started. And I just think that they're ready to be the clear-cut best team in the NFC, make a statement. Green Bay's talented. Green Bay can run the football. Love can make plays. Hasn't looked great every week. And I just think the Lions are a better football team, ready to make a statement. 2.5 favorites on the road. I'll still take it. Give me Denver at Green Bay minus 2.5. And then the New York Giants. You know how I feel about this game. I'm already in tank mode, believe it or whatever you want to believe, whatever you think is best for this team. I think Washington if you saw, they played miserable against Chicago, and they still found a way to win. I think Daniels is a budding superstar, and as well as this defense has played at times, Banks getting benched at the half, this Giant team offensively can keep up on in some way. They can run the football. Tracy's been running the football pretty well. But Daniel Jones is going to cost them big at the end of the game. And I think, in my mind, I'm going to bet what I'm hoping for. What I'm hoping for is a loss, and Daniel Jones doesn't play anymore. Give me Washington -3.5 against the Giants. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you. Those are the picks for Week 9. Again, I think I'm going to... I haven't been told the exact hours, but there's a chance you'll hear from me over the weekend. We could go over those picks again. I'll give you Fliegelman and Marcos as well. I'll get in touch with those two clowns. I'm still recovering from my Yankees to get excited about the football. I mean, the two New York teams, I hate to tell you this. The two New York teams are in trouble. I'm already rooting for losses for the Giants, and I'm heartbroken. I'm sad. It's hard to get up for the football Sunday. I'll try. Maybe it'll put me in a good mood. Maybe sitting there on the couch all day watching football and watching the red zone and losing money. Maybe that'll... Okay. That's been official then. I'll give that later. 888-808-1019. Quick break. We'll come back. Take your phone calls all the way to 5 o'clock, rapid fire style, on anything you want to talk about. We could talk about the NFL Sunday. We could talk about Week 9, go around the league. Jets' big victory. Yankees failures, and who's to blame? Still playing the blame game on a Friday morning. That'll change on Monday. We'll get more into moving forward. But we can talk Juan Soto, his free agency, obviously. And when did everybody, and I'm really curious when everybody became an expert on body language and tone of conversations. We all know everything the young man is thinking. I don't even know if Juan Soto knows exactly how he feels. He talked 10 minutes after the World Series was over. But suddenly, we know exactly what he meant and exactly how he said it. And the fact that he's, you know, not coming back to the Yankees is a foregone conclusion. Not so fast. And then the question is, if he is gone, what's the best way to rebuild? And then, of course, the Mets. And how do they look with Juan Soto on their team? 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you till 5 right here on The Fan.
Your official station to talk New York Rangers. Yeah! The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Here we are, born to be kings. We're the princes of the universe. Here we belong.
Fighting to survive in a war with the darkest power.
I don't know why this song gets me going, but it does. High school football, the year 2000. Everybody else was blasting, you know, Nelly. And I was like, no, no, no. We're playing Queen. They hated me. I used to put on Band on the Run at parties. They used to love me. But that song does get me pumped. It is a football Friday. We're trying to get past. We're trying to feel better about things. Enjoy the weekend.
Nothing like Daniel Jones to help you get over the Yankee loss.
Yeah, nothing like watching Daniel Jones to make me feel good. I guess I will be on Sunday morning at midnight. So you'll get to hear me after a Saturday night of hanging out on the way home. Catch me. Turn me on. We'll do more on the football as we get ready for a football Sunday. A lot of Yankee talk still recovering from the disaster that was the World Series, the disaster that was Game 5. 888-808-1019. Maury in Belmore, tonight is your night, bro.
Enjoy the weekend with the Shill for Cashman and Boone.
That's right.
Just kidding. You know that, Christopher. How are you?
Good. How are you?
All right. Very upset as you are. Same thing. Dealing with it, hurting. But I think somebody's got to go. It's either Boone, Cashman. I want Willie Randolph as a coach. I know it sounds crazy, but I need a change of coach. I know.
You want Willie Randolph as the manager?
Hold on. He's got unfinished business in Major League Baseball. I feel like he was shown the door on the West Coast. That was horrible what happened there. But that's not the point. My point is, I think having a nickname for all the players and all that stuff that Boone's been going through, I think it's time for a change of coach. I just think it'll. We just need a change. All they had to do is go get out of the dugout for 2 minutes to settle everyone down. 31 minutes of disaster. All he had to do is get out of the dugout for 2 minutes.
Oh, come on. What do you mean all he had to do? What does it mean all he had to do?
He sat there and watched this team melt down and did gobbledygook.
Oh, what is he supposed to do? You make it sound like going out there. Okay, you could argue he could go out there. I had a caller call up and say the same thing.
Settle it down.
Well, what was he going to say? First of all, well, of course, yeah, you've seen other coaches go out to the mound. What a novel idea! I've never seen it before.
We're not playing Meppam, okay? We're in a real World Series.
It's Gerrit Cole on the mound, and with bases loaded, he struck out Lux. He struck out Ohtani. He got a ground ball. At that point, could you have gone out there? Sure. It's Gerrit Cole. It's not some rookie on the mound.
I understand it.
I mean, and you make it sound like you know that solves the problem. If only he goes out there, they don't score runs.
It's not the point. Whether he goes out there, whether it's the same outcome as it, he sat on his hands and he shouldn't have. That's my point. I just feel like we give him enough. Oh, he's got the heritage, the Boone heritage. You know what? F Boone. Let's get a new coach. That's what I'm saying.
All right. That's fine. Again, I know. This is where I get in trouble. We're acting like they were awful. They played an awful inning of baseball. They didn't hit with runners in scoring position. Is that on Boone? Is that part of the culture? The hitting with runners in scoring position? Because that goes back to Joe Torre, quite honestly, in the postseason. I mean, they were in Game 5 of the World Series. We're acting like that, you know, something's got to be done to avoid this travesty. They hadn't been there in 15 years. He's the first manager to get them there in 15 years. I'm not saying that there's not issues. And if they fired him, if the news broke right now that Aaron Boone was fired, I'd say, okay, who are we getting? Please don't listen to Maury and hire Willie Randolph at 70 years old. And nothing against Willie, but I don't think that's the answer. But I'd be fine with it. But I just, accountability, like I hear that a lot. And it's the new, very popular word, accountability. They have to fire everyone after making the World Series? That's the only way to hold people accountable? Like, again, accountable in football, got to hold them accountable. Like, oh, there's a problem with the problem isn't the cadence. It's, you know, we got to hold people accountable. What does hold people accountable mean? Like, I saw Bob Papa, the great Bob Papa, put out a video of Tom Coughlin screaming at practice, just screaming, you got to get your ass down, or whatever. He's screaming something. And Bob said, you got to hold players accountable from the beginning, and made like a Yankee point. And I was thinking to myself, okay, well, now show Joe Judge making everybody run laps. I want to see that one. I want to see Joe Judge yelling at everybody, making everybody run laps, holding them accountable. That work out? Like, what is it? Like, I'm not saying you shouldn't be holding people accountable. Everybody needs to be held accountable. But Boone just doesn't do it publicly. He benched Gleyber Torres. He benched him. Oh, he didn't bench him soon enough. He doesn't have to be fired. He took the team to the World Series. And if you're going to fire him, you got to give me a better answer than Willie Randolph, because I watched him play when I was 12. Brett in Long Island. What's up, Brett?
Rami, how about your Jets make the playoffs? It's been 13 years before you put Dan and Dones in your mouth.
He's getting
Rami.
You made
the playoffs 2 years ago. Of all people, Rami and Fleas, go sit in the corner. And Chris, you know, you don't want to put
already
me on yesterday.
He is in the corner.
You're too emotional, Chris.
Too emotional.
I tried to get you yesterday, but you wouldn't put me on. You didn't want to face me.
Why did I put you on today?
I don't know, but yet, because you were all upset. You just lost, right? You're passionate about the Yankees, not the Giants.
I just didn't get to you. Well, it's hard to be passionate about a 2-5 team, Brett. It's hard to be passionate about a team that loses year after year after year. I was passionate at the beginning of the year. I was passionate at the beginning of last year, for sure. I don't know how passionate I could be after watching them get dog walked every single game. I don't know.
You literally sounded like this yesterday. Oh, I don't know if I'll ever get over this.
Yes,
like,
quite honestly.
Whine and cry baby, man. Yes. I'm surprised about you.
I'm surprised about it too. And things happen.
Chris, the Yankees built a team with home run hitters, like from A-Rod back, like they get Stanton, they get Judge, they get, and it's the same result.
No, I know.
The Dodgers were the best team all year. It's not a surprise.
That they lost is not a surprise, no. That's true.
No, but you're acting like
I'm sorry. How how'd they win the game, though? Freddie Freeman won the MVP award for what? His sacrifice bunts? Or was it his home runs?
I don't know, their eighth and ninth hitters batting 400.
Not in the Yankee series, they didn't. Not in the Yankee series, they didn't. You see what the numbers were with runners in scoring position for the Dodgers in the Yankee series? It wasn't very good. Wasn't. They were hitting 400 against the Mets. They weren't hitting 400 against the Yankees. They didn't do anything really against the Yankees. Freddie Freeman killed the Yankees. That's about it. So what happened to the Yankees? Freddie Freeman killed them Yankees. Like, that's what happened. And he did it hitting home runs. So don't tell me, oh, they build home run hitters. They have Ohtani, Mookie Betts, and Freddie Freeman at the top of the order. And you're going to say, well, the Yankees' problem was they built their lineup with home run hitters. I'm an emotional dude. I'm emotional right now with the Giants. I want them to lose. It's probably an emotional overreaction that many people would call it. I want them to lose because I'm tired of losing. That doesn't even make sense, but it's true. Doesn't even make sense. But I'm tired of the mediocrity. I'm tired of the losing. And this is where it gets me. Like, when I say mediocrity, I think when I say I'm tired of the mediocrity or the disaster, people would be like, oh, is he talking about the Yankees again? Like, no, I'm not talking about the Yankees' mediocrity. Game 5 of the World Series. Like, but nobody wants to hear that. And I get it. I get it. And I'm not satisfied with losing in the World Series. I'm friggin' pissed. But there's got to be some semblance of the team was good enough to get to the World Series. Why can't they get over the hump? And I'm sorry, they lost because of an inning that is inexplicable. And if you think it's some, again, you think suddenly the culture bit the guys who have avoided the culture this whole time. They have issues base running. They're not very good at it. They have issues defensively. They're not very good at it. That's not the strength of their team. The strength of their team is Judge and Soto. It's not a mask of all the mistakes. It's supposed to cover. It's supposed to, like, that's it. You have strengths and weaknesses. If your strengths aren't your strengths, your weaknesses are all that are left. That's what happened to the Yankees. So is it shocking that their defense let them down in the manner in which it happened? Yes, a little bit. But do I put it to Boone? No, I don't. Chris in Staten Island, what's up, Chris? Chris, you there? I'm sorry, buddy. I don't have time to. It's rapid fire style. You got to know that. Andy in Bayside, what's up, Andy?
Chris, I agree with you. Freddie Freeman came as the babe. Couple innings of bad ball, the boys would have been flying on the stands. And I'm just hoping with the free agent, everybody wishes Pat Buchanan a happy birthday.
That's right. When's Pat Buchanan's birthday? That was a real voice he put on there. He got you with that one. He got you. Tony in Staten Island. What's up, Tony?
Yeah, I know you're rapid fire real quick. I think everybody here calling in is correct. The Yanks are kind of stagnant under Aaron Boone. I know you're an apologist, and I know you love the guy. But let's face reality. We've seen enough.
I blame
We've
the players.
Enough. Hey, real quick, are they going to get different players at second base? Are we going to get guys who can steal bases? Are we going to get guys who can field the ball? Are we going to get guys who can actually play the game and not just wait for home runs? But I can tell you right now, nothing will change under Aaron Boone, and I've said that. The Yankees will never win a World Series under Aaron Boone. He choked it up big time. He should have won Game 1. He should have never put Cordero in Game 2 after not pitching for a month.
Listen, if you're going to blame him for putting in Cordero, you don't know what you're talking about. Cordero's their best guy. Where would they be without Cordero? How dare you? Boom should have never put in Cordero. Like, that's how you know it's not fair. You know it's not fair. I mean, come on. You could get on Boone for a lot. Cordero? That's the day you can't go to Cordero, build a different team because that's what they're built on. But honestly, again, I don't think Nestor Cortez was that big a deal. It was a mistake. It didn't work out. So you want to call it a mistake? He made two mistakes in that game and one mistake in that inning, worse than going to Nestor Cordero. And you want to say they can't win without Boone? Okay, they can't win with Boone. Fine. I bet you prior to that, you were saying they'll never get back to a World Series without Boone. Then we'll say we'll never get to six game of the World Series without Boone. Boone's not a great manager. He's not a bad manager. If they fire him tomorrow, that's great. He's not the reason that Aaron Judge dropped the ball, and that's the reason they lost. Plain and simple. That's not carrying water. That's not being a shill. That's not making excuses. That's putting the blame where the blame belongs, with the $40 million player captain of the team. That's where it belongs. With the $300 million ace pitcher who pitched a great game otherwise, didn't cover first. That's where it belongs. Stop blaming it on the guy you don't like just because it's convenient for you. That's it. I guess I'll see you at midnight or so on Sunday morning. Until then, bye-bye. Have a great weekend. I'm out of here. The Warm Show's next. Thank you, Robbie.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. WFAN.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.